Heavenly greetings, people of God. Welcome to this program. Today we have another podcast. And today we are going to talk about one issue which is really, really in the heart of our faith today. We are going to talk about the reality of God. The reality of God. We talk about God, the kingdom of God, faith. Is it real? Is it something I can experience in reality? Say, yes, God exists. I've experienced God, His promises. That's the question. When Jesus came on earth, He came to bring the reality of heaven, the reality of God, and take man to a place of significance where man can relate with God in spirit and in truth, in reality. Are you experiencing God in your life? That's the question we have to answer today.
That is actually the key question, because if God is not real, then we're just wasting our time. It's all about the reality of God and His word. And if we truly believe that, it will change our life. Hmm. It reminds me of that quote. Do you remember that faith is the unshakable confidence in the reality of the yet unseen world?
Say it again.
Faith is the unshakable confidence in the reality of the yet unseen world.
Let's break down what you said. Say it again a third time.
Faith is the unshakable confidence in the reality of the yet unseen world.
Let's take every single word you said. Faith is the unshakable confidence in the reality of the
yet unseen world.
We break it.
So can you have unshakable confidence in something you cannot see?
Before we talk about that, let's talk about faith. What is faith? What is faith?
Ah, so many definitions.
Let's take the one everybody knows in the book of Hebrews, in the Bible. Faith is
the evidence.
Before that, faith is the substance of things
hoped for, the evidence of things.
Which word strikes you most in that definition? Which word? Hope? Substance? Evidence? Which is the word? Evidence.
Evidence, I think.
Faith is evidence. I mean, faith is reality. The reality of faith. Faith is not abstract. If faith is abstract, I mean, we can't demonstrate it. We can't practice it. And we are here to be practicing Christian. What do I mean? A Christian must not only know his faith, but show his faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to say even more. A Christian should not only know his God in theory, but show his God. Are you showing your God? Are you showing Jesus?
People should see the reality of God through you.
In your life.
Through our life.
So to say, faith is the unshakable. 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 What is unshakable? That cannot be changed.
That can't be changed or affected by circumstances or emotions.
Absolutely.
Or...
Can you change God?
No.
Can you move God from His throne?
No.
Can you change God's word?
No.
Can you change His promises?
No.
So why do you doubt? When we doubt, we are shaken in our faith because of circumstances. But the Bible says faith is the unshakable confidence. What is confidence?
Assurance. A strong belief.
Yes. Let's take one by one. We say faith is evidence, mean reality seen, right? Unshakable. Means no matter what comes, no matter what happens, absolutely nothing can cause you to change your mind about what you believe in God. If God say, this is the way, nobody can change that way for you. If Jesus said, he who believes in me has eternal life, absolutely nothing can change that belief. If it is anchored in your heart. Confidence. When Jesus walked towards the cross, Jesus knew that he will rise from the dead. When Jesus came by the graveside of Lazarus, he had the absolute confidence before even he prayed that the Father will hear him. He had the absolute confidence that Lazarus will rise again. He said to Martha, if you believe, you will see what?
The glory of God.
If you believe.
Believe first, then see.
Oh my God. Listen to Jesus. In the word believe, we say seeing is believing. Am I right? If I don't see, like Thomas, I don't believe. But Jesus say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God.
So believing comes first before seeing.
Thank you. We are coming there. And he said, all things are possible to him who believes. Take note. That's the faith we're talking about. What is belief? If I believe or I think, this is not belief. It's a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Belief is rooted deep inside your heart. That confidence is there. Unshakable confidence in the truthfulness of God's word. Unshakable confidence in the resurrection of Jesus. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? That's the question.
That's the crucial question for us as believers.
And this is a central truth about the gospel message. Do you believe in Christ's resurrection?
Mm.
If you don't believe in Christ's resurrection, there's no way you can receive the gift of Holy Spirit or righteousness. And that's where the problem is. You can confess his Lord, but do you believe that he has risen from the dead? Paul said, if the dead has not raised, mean our faith is in vain.
Mm.
Glory be to God, our faith has not been vain. Christ has risen from the dead.
Mm, Christianity stands on that.
Absolutely.
Mm.
When Jesus rose from the dead, can you imagine what happened the day Jesus resurrected, that first day? When Jesus rose, who saw him first?
The women at the tomb. Mary Magdalene, there was two or three women that went there. Including.
They saw Jesus, the reality of Christ, out of the tomb. They saw him and they went to tell it, the apostles. We have seen the Lord. How did they react?
They didn't believe.
They find it difficult to believe because they never experienced that reality before. We all know that if somebody dies, that's over. But the women said, they have seen the Lord.
Mm.
They doubted. Peter and John run to the tomb. And they went and find the tomb empty. Until Jesus appeared to them physically. While they were locked in the upper room, Jesus visited them and said, peace be with you. And they saw the reality of Christ's resurrection and became his witnesses. Do you believe in the reality of Christ's resurrection? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? There's one man who doubted that and fought Christianity. His name was Saul of Tarsus. Many were happy when Jesus was crucified. They say, ha, he was a deceiver. Now we got him. He's dead. Let's seal the tomb and put God there. Nobody can, because this man said that he will rise from the dead. They put guards to watch over the tomb and they put a stone to make sure that Jesus will never come out of that grave. But nothing can stop him from coming out. He came out of the grave and appeared to his witnesses, not to everybody, but to his witnesses, chosen one. Mm. And they saw him and they ate with him.
And because of their testimony, we believe today.
That's what I want to say. This Bible, is it history book? Or is it real for you? That's the question. Is faith a storybook, mental assent, or is it evidence? Is it real? Have you experienced the reality of God's promises? Have you experienced the reality of Christ's resurrection? Have you experienced the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life? That is the question.
Mm.
Jesus came on earth to bring the reality of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to restore the relationship between God and man in spirit and in
truth.
Truth. So now, what does this mean in spirit and in truth? How many realities do we have? Ruth.
How many realities?
How many sorts of reality? If I say reality.
Okay, the physical reality.
This is your hand.
Yes.
I touch you. I see you. You are real to me.
Yes.
Because I see you, I touch you, I feel you. Eh?
Yes.
That's reality for human beings. We see, we touch, we smell, and we recognize that this is real. I have seen it. But Jesus said, God is spirit.
Mm.
Remember in John chapter 4, Jesus met the Samaritan woman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, let's go to John chapter 4. Two realities were in oppositions. The Samaritan woman said, it is in this mountain of Samaria that we worship. That's where the reality of God is for us. They said, you Jews, you said, it is in the temple of Jerusalem that God is. That's what they said. That's your reality. Mm-hmm. Start from verse 5.
From verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
Mm.
Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. Mm. It was about the sixth hour.
Mm.
A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Mm. Jesus said to her, give me a drink.
Mm.
For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food.
Mm.
Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?
Mm-hmm.
For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.
Mm-hmm.
The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?
Mm-hmm.
Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again.
Mm.
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst.
Glory be to God. The shock of two realities.
Mm.
The woman was in the natural.
The physical reality.
Physical reality.
Mm.
The water. She came to fetch every day. But Jesus brought a reality of a kind of water that is not natural, spiritual things. The woman was in the natural, Jesus was in the spirit. What Jesus was saying was the reality of heaven, reality of the things of God.
Mm.
So Jesus took her from the natural to the spiritual for the woman to understand the reality of the kingdom of God is talking about. The woman, her reality was physical, the mountain of Samaria, the well, the water of Jacob. But Jesus said, there's a water I will give you. You will never thirst again. What happened next?
Verse 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst.
Mm.
But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.
Praise the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
And every other thing shall be
added unto you.
Jesus is talking about a reality that is spiritual. Jesus never came for the natural only. He came for the supernatural reality of God. Which reality are we talking about? Faith is real. Faith is a reality. Continue.
The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet.
Glory be to God. Now the woman left the natural. I went to the spiritual because Jesus revealed the secret, the reality of a trouble in her heart. That's the reality of whom you are. God is not looking at me. We are Ruth on the outside. God looks at our heart, our spirit. The real thing about us is not this body. It is our spirit. Jesus came on the cross to die, not for this body, but for your soul, the spiritual side of you.
Mm.
Eternal life is the spiritual side of you.
Because that's the part that will go to heaven.
Absolutely. This body will go to the dust.
So for God, the real thing about us is not our physical form.
What is it?
Our spirit.
Your spirit. That's the real thing about you. The question, did you believe you have a reality?
Mm.
That's the question. If the only reality you believe is your flesh, means you don't know who you are. If you believe you're only carnal, flesh, how will you relate with God?
So in order to know the reality of God, you have to know your reality first.
Thank you. Once you discover your reality as a spirit being, then you know who God is. What did Jesus say after? Continue.
Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him."
This is the reality. Jesus came to show us what is essential and necessary, the reality of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. The Jewish reality was the temple. Jesus said, "No, that's not a reality." Samaritan say, "Our mountain." Jesus, "No. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in
truth."
Continue.
"God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
Reality. God is spirit. Mean invisible, incorporeal. You cannot touch God. You cannot see with your eyes or hear with your naked ears.
But you can see and feel the effects of God in your life.
Absolutely. But to relate with him, your reality as a spirit must have awareness of whom God is. Our spirit is a part of us that have sensitivity, that receive inspiration and revelation of the things of God. Spiritual reality demands for revelation. It is your spirit only that can perceive that reality. So, remember, Nicodemus, a doctor of the law, came after the Samaritan. Nicodemus came. He heard about the miracles that happened. What did he say when he came to Jesus? Can you tell me?
He said, "How can I be born again?"
No, first he said, "No one can do this miracle
unless God is with them."
Thank you. Why did he ask that question?
Because he'd seen things he could not explain naturally.
Thank you.
He knew that it had to be with divine intervention.
Thank you. He knew natural reality can never achieve those things. They never seen a lame begin to walk, a deaf begin to hear, dead person begin to rise again. It defies the law of nature. They have never seen such thing happening. They saw the reality of the reality. The reality, the manifestation of the inner reality of the Spirit of God. He came. What did he say? Let's go to John chapter 3. From verse 2. Let's listen to Nicodemus. We talk about reality.
"This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'"
No one can do these
signs that you do unless God is with him.
Yes.
"Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'"
This means unless one is born again, he cannot see the reality of the kingdom of God. Unless you become spiritual, by spiritual rebirth, your spirit cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. You need to be recreated. You need to be spiritual. That's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God is indistinct. It needs to be discerned spiritually. But those who have spiritual eyesight can see the kingdom. What did Nicodemus said?
Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?"
Can't you see? He's a doctor of the law, but he's still in the natural.
"Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?"
Can't you see? Natural reality and spiritual realities were in conflict. Jesus was talking about spiritual realities, but Nicodemus was focusing on natural realities. How can a man be born again, enter his mom, and come back again? He was in the natural, Jesus was in the spiritual. Jesus came to reset our focus from the natural to the spiritual. Jesus is telling us reality is not in the natural, it's in the spirit. And it needs to be perceived and discerned spiritually for those of eyes that can see, ears that can hear the things of the spirit. What did Jesus say after?
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
No, he said, unless you are born again of water and the spirit, you cannot enter the reality of the kingdom of God.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Two realities. Natural realities, born of the flesh. Spiritual reality, born of the
spirit.
Spirit. Can you just go to verse 11?
"Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen,
Jesus
and
say,
you do not receive our witness."
We speak of?
What we know.
We know the reality of God. We know the reality of the kingdom of God. We know the reality of the things of heaven. That's why we come to testify. Continue.
"If I told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?"
Jesus said, if I tell you about natural realities and you don't believe, how will you believe when I talk about spiritual realities? Continue. Verse 13.
"No one has ascended to heaven, but take he note. Who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven."
Say it again.
"No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven."
Ruth, if you go to court and there's a court case and the judge wants to establish the truth, they will call for witnesses. Am I right? Who was there? Who can witness this? Hey, I was there. I saw this man. I was there. I saw his name. When witnesses come and charge the person, evidence is there. Right? But Jesus is saying, say it again, verse 13.
"No one has ascended to heaven."
No one has ascended to heaven, to paradise, to heaven where God is.
"But he who came down from heaven."
Only the person who was in heaven, who
that
saw
is
that reality,
the
is
Son
coming
of
down
man.
Here on earth. The Son of Man, I myself.
Who is in heaven.
I'm in heaven. Jesus said, I came from heaven.
I know the reality of God.
I know the reality of God. That's why I come to tell you the truth about God. I'm not from this earth. I'm from heaven. So I'm a genuine, faithful witness of the things of heaven because I come from heaven. I'm not from this earth. If you look at Jesus in a natural, his life did not start at natural birth from the womb of Mary.
No.
Before the world began, Jesus is.
He said, before Abraham, I was.
Before Abraham was, I am.
I am.
And he said, can you go to John chapter 16, verse 28? Let's listen. We are talking about the reality of Christ, the reality of God. Let's listen to Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 28.
"I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father."
Please, every Christian, every believer should learn this verse by heart. Jesus said, I came forth from the
Father
and
have come into the world.
I come into this world.
Again, I leave the world.
Again, I'm going to the cross. I leave this world.
And go to the Father.
I'm going back to my Father. Jesus has spoken plainly about himself. That he came from heaven, the Father. He became flesh and entered this world to fulfill righteousness. Die on the cross, resurrected. I'm going back to the Father where I was before. That's what he said. That's reality. The reality of Christ is not his human nature, his divine nature. Before the world began, Jesus said, I am. If you look at Jesus in the natural, you only resume the life of Jesus from his birth, natural birth, and the cross. But Jesus said, I came forth from the Father. I came into this world for what? To bear witness of the things of heaven. I came to declare the things of heaven, what I see for my Father, to tell you here. That's what he said.
And he came into this world. He didn't just start his life in this world.
That's reality.
Mm.
I'm going back to the Father, meaning he's saying, I'm going to rise from the dead. That's what he said. And he did rise from the dead and went back to where he was before at the right hand of the Father. That's the reality of faith in Christianity. Mm. It is beyond a normal religion. Reality of God, reality of Christ's resurrection, reality of the Holy Spirit, reality of faith. That's what Jesus came to do. For you to be born again, to enter the reality of God, to see the kingdom and to experience the kingdom of God. So now, Ruth, we that are here today, how can we enter the reality of God? The answer he said to Nicodemus already. You can answer me.
We have to be born again.
We have to be born again. How can we be born again? What does it mean to be born again? Can I enter my mom's womb, as Nicodemus said?
No. Whoever is born of the Spirit, we have to be born again through the Spirit. Our spirit needs to be revived, renewed.
You need a recreated spirit.
A recreated spirit.
That's the part of you, your spirit, that can worship God in spirit and in truth. It is your spirit that receives revelation from God. It is your spirit that perceives the voice of God. It is your spirit that dreams and sees visions. It is your spirit.
Is your spirit alive?
That's the question. Your spirit has one organ called the conscience. Is it alive? Mm. If it is alive, you will hear God clearly.
Speaking to your heart.
Today, we have many dead living.
Mm.
Living in the flesh, dead in the spirit.
Mm.
Let's go to Luke chapter 20, from verse 38. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. Reality of God. Reality of the promise of the gospel of God, of Christ. Reality of eternal life.
For he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live to him.
God is not what?
The God of the dead.
But the God of the?
Living.
Who are the living?
Those whose spirit is alive.
Those whose spirit is alive. Those who are born again. They have the life of Christ, eternal life. Recreated spirit. New creation. Why? This means Jesus is not the Lord of the dead, but Lord of the living. For my sheep shall hear my voice. Jesus has come to give us life. That was his purpose. Life to your spirit. Life to your soul. Spiritual life. Spiritual rebirth. Received by faith in his name.
Mm.
Born again. Born of the spirit. Recreated spirit. With a sense of righteousness. Where you begin to hear God. To hear the voice of God.
Mm.
Let me give an example. Let's go to Simon Peter. Peter was a natural man as you and me. But Peter was called to follow Jesus. Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years. But one day, Peter began to experience the reality of Christ.
Mm.
Can I ask a question? When did Peter start experiencing the reality of Jesus, the reality of the Spirit and the kingdom of heaven? Can you tell me when? Did he not deny Jesus when death came?
Yes.
Because he was in the flesh.
Okay, is it at Pentecost?
At Pentecost.
When the Holy Spirit came.
When the Holy Ghost came, what did he do to them?
Then he started speaking the word.
Thank you.
Revealed to him by the Holy Spirit.
Reality comes with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. When the Holy Ghost comes from heaven, enter your heart and abide in you, reality comes.
Mm.
Reality is established.
That means you can't know the reality of God or his kingdom without the Holy Spirit.
Without the Holy Spirit, no reality.
Mm.
No Holy Spirit, no reality. No Holy Spirit, no revelation. No Holy Spirit, no life. No Holy Spirit, no true born again, born of the Spirit.
Mm.
Peter, in Acts chapter 10, go read at home.
Mm.
When the Holy Ghost began to speak to him clearly, he understood the reality of the Holy Ghost and went to the house of God in the street and obeyed. When the Holy Ghost come, he give birth to reality in you of the kingdom of heaven.
Hmm.
a new sense of righteousness come, a new life come, because you manifest on the outside. Reality comes with the coming of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's the practical side of Christianity. When the Holy Ghost comes, you begin to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You begin to hear God, hear from God, dreams and vision, and walk led by the Spirit of God. Your heart become alive. Your consciousness become alive. That is reality. Do you experience that relationship with God in spirit and in truth? Reality means in spirit and in truth. That is the promise of the gospel. That's what Jesus came to do on earth. That's the promise of God. That's the promise of the gospel of Jesus. Not prosperity in the outside, prosperity in the spirit. That's the question. Are you experiencing God? Or is it a theory for you? Is faith abstract or is faith is a demonstration? God's promises, are they mere wishful thinking or is it a reality for you? Prayer, is it an intellectual exercise or is it a reality for you? That is a question.
Because it's the words of your heart that Jesus hears.
Now, how do we enter reality today? Through his word, by his spirit. Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 5. Let's listen.
Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the reality of the kingdom of God. What is water and the Spirit? Jesus spoke in parable. That's why the gospel of Jesus, the reality of the gospel is not in the natural, in the letter, but it's in the spirit. Jesus spoke, saying, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my
blood."
What is his flesh? The word. The word became flesh. What is his blood?
The spirit.
The spirit. The same word he used apply here. What is the water? That's the word of God. The washing of the water by the word of God. You're already pure because of
the word
I have spoken to you. It's a hidden parable, a hidden reality. What is the blood? The life of the flesh and the blood, that's the spirit. To be born again of the word of life, word and life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. To be born again, you need the word of faith, the word of life. That is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 10. This word, not only must you have God's word in to be born again, you need
God's spirit.
Say it again.
Not only must you have God's word to be born again, you need God's spirit.
That is the water and the spirit. Not only must you have God's word, Nicodemus had only the word, but lacked
the
spirit.
That's why he didn't understand.
That's why he remained in the natural. And Peter say, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, you are born again, not of a corruptible seed, incorruptible seed, through the word of God that lives and abides forever. That's the living word.
That means for God, what's real to him is different to what's real to us.
Good. The reality of God is where? His word.
The spirit.
The reality of God today is the word of life. God speaks. We can only know the reality of God through his word by his spirit. In your heart, in your conscience. That's what the Bible says. If you take God's word to heart.
And truly make it part of you.
It will.
By its very nature.
What is its nature?
Change you.
What is the nature?
Spiritual nature.
Yes, spiritual nature. Make you spiritual.
Because every word of God is spirit and life.
That is it. And you become spiritual. Reality comes when we are spiritual. That's what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, 1 to 5. Set your affection on the things that are from above, where Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. God's word refreshes our mind. God's spirit renews our strength. God is in his word. This Bible is a key. The letter kills, but the spirit gives
life.
That is why if this seed enter your heart, it becomes spirit. He has capacity to create a spiritual force called faith. Mm-hmm. And faith in Christ Jesus takes you to spiritual rebirth. Mm-hmm. Born again, born of the Spirit. That's why when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, he came to confirm their faith. Faith became reality.
I hope you wrote that down. Say that one again about the word of God enters our heart and has the capacity to create a spiritual force called faith.
Yes.
Because many people think faith is an intellectual decision. Okay, today I decide to have faith. Today I decide not to have faith. No, faith is a spiritual force. And it works in connection with other spiritual forces like love. So faith cannot work without love. It's a spiritual force. And that's why it's natural when you believe. It's come spontaneously once you accept the word of God is true for your life and that word of God begins to grow in your heart. Then faith begins to grow in your heart. So that is why we need to allow the word of God in our heart, because that is how our faith can grow. And that is how we can be part of the reality of God.
Therefore, yielding your heart to the word of God makes the word a reality.
A reality, yeah.
When it does, you become God-minded and word-minded. In other words, yield your heart to the Holy Ghost and be Christ-filled with the life of Christ, with the life of heaven, and the reality of heaven will become reality in your life.
So what you give your heart to becomes real to you.
That is it. A sense of righteousness brings awareness of seeing the other side. Dreams and vision comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is a reality of the Holy Ghost. Words of prophecy, reality of Holy Spirit. Word of wisdom, reality of Holy Ghost. Reality comes when the Holy Ghost comes. Thank you. So welcome the Spirit of God into our life. Without the Holy Ghost, mere religion without reality. When the Spirit of Father come, he's a giver of all life, in spirit and in truth.
So no Holy Spirit, no reality of God.
Holy Spirit, no life.
No life.
Thank you.
Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for your word. We know you are real and you are in our midst by your spirit of your Son, whom you have sent in our midst today, Lord. By the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost in our midst, we say thank you for your presence. Thank you for your reality. You are the reality of all realities. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Ghost in our midst today, in our heart. Father, we pray for everybody watching today, for the reality of your kingdom to come, for the reality of Christ to come, for the reality of the Holy Ghost to come, begin to live eternal life right now here on earth. How? Father, open our heart to your word in the name of Jesus. Open our heart to your spirit. Open our heart to the faith. That's the key to experience reality. The word, the spirit, and faith. And reality comes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today, all about the reality of God. And we are so excited to be with you on this journey of faith. Yes, it is a journey, and we cannot do it without Jesus, because as long as we live, we continue to learn. This Bible is full of revelation, a revelation of the Holy Spirit. And as you open your Bible and ask God to speak to you, he will speak to you through his word and by his spirit. So stay blessed, stay in faith, and we'll see you soon on the University of God.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord be with your spirit. Amen.
God bless you.